Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Well, thanks again for joining us on the Washington Heights weekly podcast. And today I have with me our newest staff member. His name is Jordan Jackson. Jordan, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, anytime. It's a pleasure.
And why don't you just share a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your family, and things like that.
Yeah, from Utah. I've moved around a lot, lived in Riverdale, Clinton, South Weber, a whole bunch of different cities.
Pretty much Weber and Davis County.
Yeah, right? Yeah, pretty much Weber and Davis County. But I got married almost coming up on 2 years now. Roy actually married us.
Wow.
Here at the church. I know, it's time flies.
Yeah, and your bride had a picture recently of me baptizing her when she was 9 years old. That is, I don't know. There are a lot of things making me feel old here. And, you know, and I've kind of fallen into this routine whenever I introduce Jordan. He was born in this century.
Yeah, year 2000.
And there's a bunch of people listening now who just let out a deep sigh and feel very, very old. But we are thrilled to have you on the staff here. And most recently, Jordan, you were doing what?
Yeah, I was currently working for Apple. I was working in the retail store, and it was a great company to work for. I absolutely loved them. Couldn't say any bad things about them. They're awesome. However, I was looking for something different, and I just had this opportunity that popped up when everything was kind of leading that way, leading the direction of ministry. And so I decided to run with it, decided to just grab God's hand and let him take the wheel, you know?
And join this crazy staff here,
yep.
Huh?
Yep.
Well, and to us, you were not an unknown because you've been serving in a ministry here. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I've been volunteering with Route 56 with Andrew Moore, he's their leader, and he does a great job. But those kids are awesome, and that just kind of helped me like realize that ministry was kind of the pathway that I would be interested in taking if an opportunity ever came up. So I went with it.
Wow. Yeah. And you didn't grow up in a church like Washington Heights, correct?
No, I did not.
So faith in the Jesus of the Bible still is a fairly new thing for you.
Yeah, fairly new. I've been coming to Washington Heights for about 4 years now, and almost, 4 years. Time flies. But really, I had a life moment where I just had to make a decision to fully put my faith and trust in God. And after that moment, I've had my full faith and trust in God ever since, and I don't think anything could ever change my mind because He is the one and only person that I can have full trust and faith in forever and all eternity. So
yeah,
it's absolutely amazing.
And everything else in this world can change, but that stays the same.
Stays the same.
No matter what.
Yep, and there's only good things that come out of it too.
Yeah.
I don't know one follower of Jesus and that could say one bad thing about following Jesus. There's only good things that come with it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you being here certainly is one of the good things that has come as a result of that. And why don't you share a little bit about what your job entails, what responsibilities come with that?
Yeah, so the official title is Online Church Communications Director. So I will be pretty much running all the social media, running the website, helping Mike with the graphics and everything. And so Mike's been doing a lot of that stuff lately. And so is Tammy and Angie. It's kind of just been a whole bunch of other people joining in, working together to get it done. So me being here will help relieve some of their responsibilities that they were doing to help focus on their ministry. So Mike, he's the creative pastor. He'll be able to focus more on that creative aspect and helping people meet and follow Jesus through worship music and different kinds of worship. Tammy and Angie, they'll be able to focus on their ministries, and Sean will be able to help focus more on his video production. So me just being here will help relieve a lot of like contention that they may have take some stress off of their shoulders.
So fair to say that what you are doing will show up in all the things that we do here in all the different ministries.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of look forward to like hopping in all areas of ministries because I got to be everywhere, know what's happening with the church because I got to spread the word of Jesus to everybody. So
awesome. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the different generations and just how they think and how they communicate. And, you know, here I am, I don't know, I'm in the last year of a boomer, but I'd really like to be more of a buster, but that's my only issues that I got to deal with. But, you know, more and more you hear about younger generations, right? They're the millennials. And then there's a Gen Z, which you're a Z, right?
Yep.
And from your perspective, you know, how much credibility you put in that, you know, millennials and Gen Z just communicate digitally versus in other ways like older generations have. Talk about that for
a minute. They're not carrying mail on horseback anymore, you know.
We didn't do that either. Hey, wait a minute. We're not that old.
They're just pressing a couple buttons and pressing send. So it's a lot easier to communicate digitally. They can just shoot a text, shoot an email, send photos, AirDrop via Bluetooth, and it just makes things too easy, which is awesome, but it's really scary at the same time because the device that everybody holds in their hand or in their pocket can be a really dangerous device, but it can also be a super amazing tool if you use it properly.
Mm. Everything has its pros and cons, right?
Exactly.
The way it used to be, the way it is now, and it's a little bit like eating fish, right? You gotta eat the meat, spit out the bones,
and
make the most of the opportunities that are there. And, you know, I know a little bit about some of the things that you are already looking at doing. I mean, you've been on staff now a whole, week and a half?
Yeah, not too long.
But you are off and running, doing a bunch of things. What kind of things are you working on right now?
So me and my wife had just purchased a home here in South Ogden back in February, so a couple months ago. And we just remodeled pretty much the whole thing, the kitchen, the bathroom. We built the kitchen and redid the laundry room downstairs, and I'm still doing projects on the house.
Yeah, get used to that.
Yeah, it's going to be forever. but yeah, we decided to make that into a rental property, which will kind of help relieve the financial situation in our lives and just help us be able to focus on our marriage as well as volunteering opportunities because we both love to serve and love to volunteer. Mm. And that's where we want to be, so... Mm. That's us making it happen.
And then how about here at the church? You've already, you know, begun to do some things. I mean, you've talked about things like doubling the amount of content that we put out digitally. Talk a little bit about that. Why do that? Why double the content?
The reason I like to double the content is because if we're only seeing one post on Instagram a day, it can be kind of boring. We've got to see what's happening all the time, all aspects of Washington Heights, whether it's the back end, what's happening with the staff members, what fun they have, what hard work they put in, to the fun, awesome sermons that we have on Sundays, or the students on Wednesdays and Thursday nights, and the camps they go on. And all, we have so much content and volunteer opportunities that we have. So let's just let the world know who we are and what we do and what we want to accomplish.
Yeah, and you mentioned the fun, and I don't know, there's a rumor going around about wanting a water balloon fight with the staff.
Yeah.
How much truth there is there to that rumor?
I don't know. It could be a pretty 100%, maybe 0%. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of afraid of the 100%. I fear that's coming.
I've heard a lot of different ideas too.
So talk about that. Right, because my guess is that is a little bit of a generational thing too.
Yeah.
That to do those kind of things speaks the language of younger culture. Is that a true statement?
I would say it's a true statement because if you look at a lot of like churches from even 20 years ago, they're completely different than now. If you look at some non-denominational or Christian Baptist churches, people are just doing things more digitally. And when you do it digitally, you can also see that fun aspect side of it rather than just coming to church on Sunday and then not doing anything other than reading your Bible at home. Mm. And being able to see that fun side of it digitally is probably more of a younger generation thing because they like to Like, I mean, who wouldn't want to see Pastor Jimmy just take a water balloon straight to the face, well, you know?
I'm glad you mentioned him taking one in the face and not me. But I see one in my future somewhere. So let me just run a hypothetical then. So I'm a millennial or Gen Z, and all of a sudden I come across this video where some crazy people are having a water balloon fight, and I find out those are staff members from a church.
Yeah.
What does that help me to understand about what I'm viewing? Maybe I've never been in this church or any church in my life. What does that communicate to me?
Yeah, so the younger generations, they like to see the funny stuff, not just the serious stuff. Like most kids, if they're on their phone scrolling through and there's just somebody standing up on a podium talking, they'll probably watch it for 3 seconds and continue to scroll. But if they're seeing a whole bunch of people throwing water balloons and stuff at each other, they might click on that account to see what that account's about. Once they click on that account, it might be their first interaction that they have ever in their lives come across with Jesus or Christianity or any religion whatsoever. You never know. And so just being able to reach what their younger generation is into might be able to help that younger generation come to Christ. Yeah. And once you do that, once they grow up and if they're followers of Christ, they're going to raise their kids as followers of Christ. And it could just lead on and on and on and on forever.
And sounds like it could just blow up some of the myths maybe that people have about followers of Jesus too, right? That they're all serious and all thou shalt not, and to realize they're regular people, right?
Yeah, exactly. All the staff members here, me being here, getting to know everybody, they're all awesome, all absolutely wonderful, because I didn't know everybody behind the scenes at the church before I started working here at the church. And being able to meet all the staff members, get to know who they are individually, it's been a pleasure. And me, I just think that it would be super beneficial for the rest of the world that's following the church to be able to know and understand who the staff members are and connect with them on a personal level too.
Let me shift gears a little bit with your responsibilities here, because one of the other sort of opportunities, visions out there, it's something we have not realized yet, but we're very passionate about, is reaching into some more remote communities. And technology has opened up all kinds of new opportunities to share the Jesus of the Bible with folks who may not have any other opportunity to experience that. So talk a little bit about that. How does that work? What are we shooting for there?
Yeah, so we have a couple ideas in the works that we're kind of thinking about. Me and Mike have been talking about a few things. Essentially, though, along the lines of having an idea of having people gather in a home together. Right now, during the whole COVID situation, it may be a little bit harder to do that, but being able to say if you're down in South Jordan or if you're in even a different state or a different country and you tune in to Washington Heights regularly online or through via social media, it would be awesome to just be able to grow the community that you're in so that, because there may be people around you that's also tuning into Washington Heights or tuning in or wanting to seek out and find Jesus or doesn't even know who Jesus is. So being able to create those communities remotely in different areas of the world will be able to help spread the word of Jesus and bring people to Christ easier. Now, one of the ideas that we have is creating what's called an online host. So essentially what we want to do, it's just an idea for right now, but what we want to do is pretty much you can submit like an application to become an online host where you can invite people into your home on a certain day of the week or whenever, whatever time works best for you in whatever area you're in. And people can come to your home, you can sit down, you can watch a sermon, or you can watch quick little videos, worship videos, whatever you'd like, and then you can just talk. You can talk about the Bible, you can talk about Jesus, or you can read Luke, you could read Matthew, you could do whatever you want. You can make it yours and what people in your area want to talk about. Now, there would be certain guidelines that you may need to meet to become an online host, such as having like a good Wi-Fi network to be able to hold a stable connection while you're streaming the video for the people to come to your house and watch together. probably already need to be a follower of Jesus for a little while now, and you may need to have a good knowledge and understanding about Christianity and be able to feel confident in teaching others about it as well.
And our dream is that there would be these groups that meet in who knows how many of these smaller communities, and they have a corporate experience, and probably on a Sunday, but it could be some other time, right? I mean, technology opens up all kinds of customizable opportunities there. And then they also meet again during the week as a small group. And the way that we can facilitate that happening, which I think is a fairly new opportunity, is the doors that technology has opened up. And so as we talk about helping people meet and follow Jesus, there have been a lot of people who haven't had that opportunity, and now there is that potential.
Yeah.
And Jordan is on the front end of cracking that code there and helping us to experience that. And hopefully even, you know, this year we might have a couple communities out there that are doing exactly that. So a lot of people in the church world are talking about, you know, even this COVID thing, sort of jump-starting, you know, this online movement. Would you agree with that assessment there that, you know, as we think about the church going forward, being there in person, the building, is not the sort of the, you know, the vast majority of what happened, but there's a big shift to people being able to tune in online. Would you agree with that?
I would. I would 100% agree with that, because there's churches throughout the world that haven't been using social media or online ministries at all. And ever since COVID and they couldn't meet, they all started to jump in and figure out, how can we do this online? How can people watch us and stay connected with us? And so I think COVID has been a real big push off of the cliff for a lot of churches. And so some churches had a longer fall than others.
Sounds a little scary.
And some churches, it may have been super scary because they may have been struggling. I mean, this pandemic has been going on for months now, and it's just, it could really make other churches, some churches that aren't as big, struggle if they, especially if they weren't online and weren't able to meet in person with state guidelines that they have to follow. But yeah, I would say the COVID has been a big push.
And so what kind of things do you envision that it leads churches like ours to think about them? What do you think are some of the implications of that? Because I agree that I think, you know, the percentage, whatever that was before, that online or digital occupied, which it was there for us, but it's going to be a whole lot more going down the road here. What kind of implications do you think that has for a church to just, hey, we need to think about this? And it's one thing to acknowledge, it's going to be a bigger part, but what does that mean in reality? What kind of decisions do we need to make?
Well, it's going to be a lot of decisions. It's going to be really time consuming, because they aren't going to be easy decisions either, because a lot of the online, say, digital marketing or online, like what applications you're going to use, what software, when you should use which applications, what social media platforms you should use, what your budget's going to be, such as like, because some of these applications can be super expensive and were made for really big companies, such as like digital companies, like tech companies, or even garages, like car garages, mechanic shops. And it can be really time consuming. It can be expensive, and it can be really hard to stay caught up, because the digital world is always changing and it's moving fast. So,
and yet you talk about expensive, and you know, before the COVID hit, you know, we were seeing, you know, our auditorium pretty full, and we had to start a third service, and we were looking at the possibility of building. And you talk about expensive. Building is super expensive. But, you know, I just even envision at this point that one of the big shifts in decision is, you know, we've hit the pause button on looking at building, because we need to live on the other side of this COVID for a while. But it could very well be that we wind up not building, but instead investing resources on the digital side versus the building another building side. And, you know, I in some respects, I'm happy that we were not in the middle of that. And I also think this time is going to force us to think about opportunities that we didn't before. And I really think one of those opportunities is the digital side. And, you know, there's a lot of cost that comes with it. My guess is, though, it's cheaper than building buildings.
It's much cheaper than building buildings. That's for especially right now. So I will agree with you there.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard people say, too, that one of the implications of this is that even as you think of staffing, you know, typically at a church, we think of staffing being here in the building, and certainly you are. But what you do represents people who are not in the building.
Exactly.
But who are out there. And that may likely be sort of the direction in which things go, even staffing-wise. So, you know, a lot of times people who do things here either on a Sunday or through the week that are part of the staff, but they happen on the campus. But the whole digital world means that there are staff members, you know, in contact with people we may never see here. Because you're tracking some of the people who are watching us. Where are you seeing some people even tuning in?
I've seen people from Georgia. I've seen some from Texas. Mainly, I haven't seen any from like California or Wyoming. That's a lie. I've seen one from Wyoming the other day. But a lot of them are from the South, where a lot of the non-denominational churches are, where Christianity is pretty big. Mm-hmm. And the LDS community isn't as big down in the South either. Now, people tuning in Utah are mainly there in the Weber and Davis County, such as like Ogden, South Weber, Roy, even some from Clinton, Syracuse. But majority people from out of state are down in the South.
Mm. Well,
but that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we've even had some people from Canada.
We have
some of the kids'
That's
videos,
true.
And yeah, it's just a whole new way to think about it.
Right? Yeah,
it used to be, well, what's the driving distance to the church location, and now it can be anywhere.
Yeah,
right? I mean, literally
exactly.
Anywhere. And I think the COVID experience has gotten people a little used to, you know, maybe having a cup of coffee with their feet up on a lounger in their home, and that may be a hard thing to to undo. But I think the greater potential is, and maybe this is especially true in Utah, that if people are a little bit cautious about walking through the front doors of Washington Heights or any church for that matter, it's a lot safer to turn something on in your living room, right?
Yes,
and
it
watch
is.
It at a distance and first see, are these people who throw water balloons at each other?
Yeah.
Or are they, you know, weird or funky or whatever? Or are they normal people?
Can I trust them kind of thing too?
Yeah.
Because when I first started coming to Washington Heights, it was like, this is weird. I don't know what's going on. Mm. Why is there coffee? I can't drink coffee. It's not a thing. Why are they playing music? But then once you get to know everybody and you get to know the community and what it's about, it's just, this is awesome. Mm. And I will never change because my life has only gotten better since I've joined. So it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and it seems like the new front door of the church, so to speak, is somebody in their living room looking at a device.
Yep.
And seeing, who are these people? What are they like? What is it all about?
Yeah, there's so many people in the world that probably just Google help or like depression. And because it's really sad. There's a lot of people in this world that are depressed or go through struggle with anxiety and stress and hardship, and a lot of them don't know who Jesus is or have lost their pathway. And so being able to do it online will help get those people that just don't feel as comfortable going into a building, just being able to see a water balloon fight on social media, something as simple as that could help change their life potentially. Mm. So I see big things happening for it.
Well, I do as well. And Jordan, we're just thrilled to have you as a part of the staff here. We are honored to have you. And there's big things ahead.
Yes.
And I think you're the right guy.
I'm honored as well. So, and I look forward to it.
Thanks for what you've done already. I know it's just been a short while, but you are off and running, and I'm anxious to see what the future holds.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and I'll see you at the water balloon fight, okay?
All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out. Subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.